When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here we are. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Challenge All-Stars Episode 4 Wrap-Up Podcast. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me to discuss this week's with Noelle. We got the great Matt Ligori and Brian Scally. Matt and Brian, how are you?
I'm just fantastic. I could not be better.
Doing well. So glad to be here talking about the Challenge All-Stars 2. A very fun episode to discuss, in my opinion.
Yes, very fun episode. This was, I think, the biggest episode in my mind that I don't know about. I feel like a lot of people were super high in season one of All Stars. And I feel like a lot of that was more nostalgia of seeing these people back. I didn't think the season was that great. There was not much drama. There's not much strategy. But like season two through four episodes, this has just been one of the best challenge seasons in a long time. This has been incredible. This episode was incredible. I am so excited to talk about this one. This season, it's been fantastic.
Completely agree, especially with this like high of an episode. I'm interested to see how the rest of it plays out before. Like, I mean, I've said that like season 37 may be the worst in quite a while, whereas All Stars 2 seems to be a big bright spot. I think it is more due to the format than anything. So I'm hoping that they really look at what works here and apply that to other seasons of the challenge moving forward.
Yeah, I don't want to like put down All Stars 1 too much because I did enjoy a lot of things about it. I mean, it's the same kind of thing that we're seeing here of just like All Stars 1. We saw a lot of people that we hadn't seen in a while. That's the same thing that's happening here, but just with a slightly better game format, like you guys said, and also just kind of like more improved gameplay, and that's making it more exciting. But season one, I mean, just some of the people that were there, like Ysela, Beth, like people that were still there at this time that like were making that whole show super exciting for me, and probably more that I'm just not thinking about right now. So I did enjoy the first one, but this one has been a lot of fun to this point for sure.
Yeah, and I think we almost needed season one to get to season two, because I think a lot of the people that came back, like, they all talk about, they haven't been in this world, in this, like, doing these types of shows on camera, doing these gameplays for, you know, 10-15 years. So like, you almost needed that, dipping your toes back in the water and seeing how it played out. And now they got to see how it played out, they got to be involved in it. And they're here, they are season two. They're like out for blood. They're like, all right, I want to win now. I'm doing what I can to win. They have new relationships now, so they can start to build off that again. So I think you almost needed the slow play of season one of people like, oh, yeah, I'll go in. It's the fair thing to do. And now season two comes around. It's like, no, screw that. I'm getting out the big guns. I'm getting out the big targets. I want to win. And we're seeing that here. And that was really what we saw for most of this episode, which was very, very, very exciting to see.
I think it also is partially due to season one. Like, you had the Trishels who showed up and thought that they were going to summer camp. And like, there's probably a little bit of that, like with Leah maybe that shows up. But for the most part, a lot of people here showed up much more prepared for the game that they're about to play. And it will not be, you know, like you have Ayana, who is just like so hype about going into elimination. So people are not shying away from playing the game here the way that some people were on season one.
Yeah, so we jump things off right at the beginning with really laying the groundwork for not just this episode but for maybe like the majority of the season here, with the two big alliances that have seemingly formed. That in classic challenge tradition, it is based on what room you're in. MJ forming his sector of his alliance. He's got him, Derek, Brad, Gahutta, and Darrell. That is their room. That is who they want to work with. That's who they all want to work together. And they are setting their sights on Letarian and Nehemiah. We obviously saw Nehemiah being a target of Derek early on. And now they see Letarian. They saw him. They felt he kind of skated by a little bit in the first season. They don't want to see him doing it again. And Nehemiah seems to be on the outs already. So that is where they are setting their targets on. Matt, what do you think about that? Five summons an alliance.
So, I mean, some of it makes sense. I mean, anytime you could tell me Derek is aligned with anybody and I'll believe you because of just the fact that like Challenge Mania exists. And, you know, he's had so many people on the podcast. He's had so many people, you know, at live shows and whatnot. So he's connected with so many of these people. Like you could tell me he's working with anybody and sure. But it's interesting that, I mean, like Brad and Derek being grouped together, especially after we saw that scene of like Brad saying like, yeah, I mean, I'm like, I think he's cool and everything, but like I've never really worked with him before. Darrell and Derek were on the same season together last time around, and I feel like they're the two vets that have been in the scene more so than anybody else, you know, for the past 10 years or so. So not surprised there, but just overall, like nothing else here makes a whole lot of sense. It's like, who is MJ? Where has he been? Kahuta has been gone for a while. So it's the rest of this. It's just like, all I have to do is absorb. Okay, these five people are together. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah. And then on really the opposite end of the spectrum, the one of the other rooms that wants to form the counter alliance, Steve recognizes where he sits, where the house sits, where that power structure sits, and he wants to work together with DMI, Letarian, Tech, and Melinda, and that is the counter alliance, which, I mean, I think that's very exciting, but it's still only 10 people in the house, and there's only one girl in the mix, so there's a whole other voting structure that's just not included. Brian, what do you think about this five as the counter alliance to those?
I am more excited about this five, to be honest. There are people who I feel like I haven't seen in longer or am just getting reacquainted with, whereas a lot of the people on the other side, like even like the Kohatas, like, yeah, he hasn't been on a while, but like more recently than so many other people on the show. So I'm not as excited about seeing them there. So I was definitely more interested in this side of the house.
Underreported story of all of this, like, and sorry to cut a little bit ahead to like the votes, but like Derek's gonna get a vote from somebody in this other probably everybody in this other alliance, but specifically like Melinda is one that stands out to me because Melinda has a podcast on Derek and Scott's network.
Yeah
well. So I'm just like baffled. I'm like, I don't know, like I need to like check in on see what these guys are talking about this week, because she's like, she has a podcast on the Challenge Mania network and they're on opposite alliances and she voted for him. I'm like, what is going on here? I don't know. It was like very RHAP sequester vibes. I'm like, people just don't work together.
All right, Brian. She's not getting the plus one, I guess, to their holiday party.
Oh my goodness. I was like, what am I missing? I mean, it's not going to come up on the show, especially now, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I am a little bit side-eyeing the demographics of the breakdown in alliance for these two in the house. I think it's worth flagging up. Not only is Melinda the only woman who is even considered, strategically in the house, I think that there are other factors that I'm keeping my eye on. It's interesting that like the four straight white men in the house have all aligned pretty automatically, where I didn't really think that they had the strongest of relationships before. It is, you know, interesting for All Stars too, but I think that both alliances are pretty even in, ability right now. So I think it's interesting to watch play out.
Yeah. And it's just, like you said, like Julie and Melinda, and clearly it's going to be even men, women, who is in the position of power each week, just based off how they do it with either individuals or teams or whatever. They have been balancing them to have an even number of people in position of power. So even if you think like your group of men is going to dominate, there's still a whole other half of the alliance that's going to either be a voting block in the position of power or for the rest of the house. So to not even factor them in is just kind of stupid gameplay in throwing out all the other demographics. It's just stupid. So like, you got to factor in where all these other votes are going. And then clearly that all other side of the house went against the MJ side. So not the best look for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious, because even when Nehemiah is naming the alliance, he says, like, he lists the four names and says, like, and right now, Steve. So I'm wondering if that is Steve is getting brought into the alliance and we are, like, working on expanding that, because it could be, you know, Nehemiah overhears MJ talking about the other side of the house. So this could be, like, pretty reactionary that they are solidifying this. And maybe they will work on the women of the house at a, you know, later time. But I don't know. Melinda's in that room and I enjoy Melinda, so I'm happy to see her included.
Do you? Yes. I mean, not to like make a super dig at like Melinda, but what is, I don't know what I'm getting from Melinda here.
She just seems like, you know, nice enough.
That was a minor dig. It wasn't a super dig. It was a minor dig.
It was definitely dig adjacent, but like, I don't know. I just don't have like strong memory. I have memories of like, you know, Danny and Melinda and all that stuff. But like, I don't know. Like when I saw that she was coming back, I was like, interesting. Okay. And now like, you know, a couple episodes in, I'm still like, what are we doing?
I find, like you said, that she does a number of podcasts. I have found her to be funny and engaging on those, as well as her speaking a little bit about how her relationship, which really dominated her time on this franchise of her and Danny, maybe was not the best relationship that she has ever been in. And so I'm excited to see her away from him and just, you know, on her own.
Yeah,
fair.
So we get, in another classic challenge fashion, we get to see the eventual people that go into the elimination. We get to see kind of their stages set. We had Derek talking about, you know, how he feels pretty confident. He doesn't have the life shield, but two of his buddies, Jody and Gahata, had them. So he feels pretty safe. Katie feels pretty safe because of all the social connections she has in the house. What could possibly go wrong with that? So kind of laying the groundwork there with Katie and Derek. What do you guys make of Katie? Because obviously, you know, spoiler alert, she's going to go home this week. I was kind of surprised to see her even come back for All-Stars 2. Like, I know she kind of epitomizes All-Stars, but I thought just her showing in All-Stars 1 wasn't a lot. Would you guys be excited for a Katie All-Stars 3 appearance, or are we done with Katie here in the mix?
I'm never going to be done with Katie, and I feel like Scally's going to be on the same page. You know, I'm never going to say, don't give me Katie back. Like, no way, no chance. But it's just, you have to know and accept that if you're a Katie fan, that this is going to be her fate on every season. And we're lucky that it didn't happen week one at a certain point. It's like the Heights thing is just not at all anything she vibes with. And the first two seasons, I mean, if you're the first one out, which if she doesn't participate in these Heights challenges, or if she just does super poorly in them, she's going to be into elimination. And, you know, we see we see it all the time, especially on this main season of 37 right now, of like people that are just trying to avoid eliminations. And if Katie's going to automatically be going into at least one elimination every season, because she's always going to bomb on these challenges, we're always going to end up here. So it's, you know, it kind of feels like hypocritical, because if this was anybody else that I was talking about, I'd be like, stop bringing them back. This is wasting my time, but it's Katie. So I'm happy to be hypocritical.
Sorry to disappoint, Matthew, but I am going to say that I am out on Katie coming back. I kind of was out on Katie coming back to All-Stars 2, to be honest. I feel like I have just like accepted that I was a Katie Doyle stan through and through, and Katie Cooley is a different person that I find very enjoyable, but not someone that I absolutely need to have on every season of All-Stars. So I like Katie. I find her to be extremely funny, like a great podcast guest, but if this is going to be the same story every time, I don't need like the threequel.
Yeah, I think let Katie host the official Challenge All Stars podcast. Like let you know, Anissa and Tori host the proper one, and let Katie get in the mix and host that one. I think that's more where Katie should fit, would thrive, would be her style. Just there's so many other women that we could start to see coming back for an All Stars 3, where it's not like with a challenge proper, where, you know, we have these new people in, we want to like grow, like make them become characters and get invested with them. There's so many other people that we're already invested in that could come back for an All Stars 3 that we just don't need Katie. Like, there's other like variations of this type of personality, or even just like a better competitor that, you know, we got it twice. Like, nothing's really changed. So what's there to bring
and
back?
Like, on the flip side, they've called Sophia three times now.
The thing is, Katie is one of the I mean, at least for me personally, I would say Katie is one of like the biggest all-time women's names for the challenge. Sure. And I think that's something that All Stars 2 was lacking kind of in the big names department. So I understand wanting to bring her back. I mean, and like if she were to show up on All Stars 3 or All Stars 4, I'm not going to be like, "Ugh, why is Katie here?" But you know, if I was casting like Katie or Ayana on next season, I'm taking Ayana, and I couldn't have told you almost anything about Ayana preseason this season.
She is the two-time winner of the challenge, according to Brad.
Yeah. So
well, there we go.
She has that going for her.
Very interesting conversation. We got Derek asking Nehemiah, you know, is there still beef between them even after, you know, the fact that Derek didn't give Nehemiah exactly who he wanted in the elimination when he went in? And then very weird to see, like, Nehemiah saying, you know, he liked the old version of Derek and thinks Derek is getting a little too strategic and wishes him can kind of go back to the underdog grinder that would kind of just push through with challenges. What did you make of kind of Nehemiah's take on his new Derek match?
It was such a slap in the face. Like, it was like, you suck at this part of the game, so I don't know why you're even trying it. Like, you're known in the game for being a beast in eliminations, beasting out the challenges, so I don't know why you're trying to play this game, because it's just not for you. And I was like,
you, how dare he say that about the best all-time human chess player? Like, no, I agree. I think that it is not Derek's strength in the game. Like, he is not someone who has really, like, ever just outright ran a season, at least as far as the edit. He was always the underdog, and, like, that's what made him likable. So I think as far as a game strategy and, for me personally, especially in likability, like, Derek does not work as the man out in front controlling the alliance.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this format kind of so interesting. The fact that winning gives you power and you can toss people in, but you also can't guarantee who goes home and who's even going in. So that's what makes this format so fun, is Derek wins the first week, and not only does he just have to listen to who Nehemiah wants for one person, he has to throw in two people. He has to, maybe he gives them only one of the two, and that person could win, and that person stays back. So I like that winning does really come with the price this season. It's not like just a pure power thing and there's no real drawback, especially when you win individually. So for Derek, it is the worst thing he probably did for his game was winning. If he could have just like stayed and floated by in the middle, which he kind of did in season one, and it got him to the final, I think that's really more where he should fit.
Yeah, I think he'd agree with you. Just a hunch. I feel like he agrees with you on that. I'll get into it. He at the very end of the episode made a comment about that when he was like, you know, I was forced to play the game, or I was forced to make a move that I had to make, and now this is what happened to me. Like, this is where I am. And then also, he was also on Tori and Anissa's podcast on the All-Stars version this week, and man, he went off about just the fact that, like, first of all, I mean, very loud, very animated. Like, the guy is a podcaster in general, so he was, like, working the mic and making sure that he was getting his thoughts out there, and he was just talking about, you know, if I didn't have to pick four people in week one and put myself out there that much, then probably this wouldn't have happened, but that's the game I had to play. I was forced to do it, and I was like, okay, sorry.
Yeah, well, I think he also, like, as much as I may have criticized him for it, letting Mark take the lead in All Stars 1 was, like I said, exactly where Derek fits in, and I don't know that there really is that person on this cast for him. He always was, like, hiding behind the Johnny, Evan, Kevin. You know, he was, like, the fourth guy who wasn't really, you know, he was the, like, he was consistently going to do well, but he wasn't, like, the person dominating a season. He wasn't, like, the overdog. He was the underdog, and that's what made him rootable, and, like, for both the viewers at home and the people in the house, because he's one of the most all-time popular people, again, both ways, and, like, no one ever usually has a bad word to say about him, but it seemed like he grated on a lot of people's nerves in this season versus others.
Yeah, and I wonder if, I mean, him having the podcast, maybe people are starting to think of, like, all right, you know, he's like the man of this world, and let's take a shot at him now. He, as you said, doesn't have his protection. He's, you know, he obviously made the final last time, so let's take the shot at him when we can. So,
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
After the challenge this week, Bright Skies, which is Trivia Over Heights. We haven't, amazingly, didn't see Trivia on a challenge proper, so we got to see it here. Kind of a variation of Trivia where instead of each person being asked a question, it was kind of, you know, you ask the question, but you have 10, 15, 20 different answers, and you have to keep going until someone gives a wrong answer, which I think this is the best version of Trivia that they've done in years.
100%.
What about you, Matt?
100%. Ooh. Yeah. Well, Scally, you can jump in first if you want to disagree with that.
So my problem, I don't know if it should have been strike based or what, but especially where, I think Kendall was first. If you're Kendall, being that they pretty much started the question over every time you got to her. So it was like, all right, Kendall, with every available option on the board, here's the new question. And if so then people who were at later in the lineup ended up having the top five answers off the board and then still having to answer the same question, I thought it was fine. And I was happy that they weren't throwing strikes at each other, because I don't think that is the most interesting either.
Right.
But I thought that was at least one problem here.
I just like the play along aspect for sure of the here's one question and name all the Harry Potter books. Sure, that's easy for somebody who, is a Harry Potter fan. But the fact that you can A, play along at home, and B, if you are you do know the answer or answers to any of the questions, as soon as somebody gets one wrong, it's fun to kind of be oh, that's it. That person's out and whatever. So I agree with Brian Cohen. I liked it.
Yes, but I think I missed the part, though. So Kendall started it every time. I thought it was just they had the order. Whenever someone got it wrong, they would pick up with the next person. Did they really restart the line every time?
I think that it would start if someone got it wrong, you would move on to the next question. But I don't know if it was just that they would automatically also restart at the beginning or if it just so happened that the people towards the end,
right.
Again, because they ended up, with the later picks were consistently getting them wrong. But it felt imbalanced to me at points for sure.
So we started with the women's round, and the way this challenge worked was obviously individual. First person out goes straight to elimination. One person remaining will be in power. Katie throws a temper tantrum. Does not even compete, so she's automatically into elimination, to the dismay of TJ, giving her crap, deservedly so. Katie feels her best chance to, she prefers to be into elimination rather than strapped to the side of a building. So there goes Katie.
When you're that terrified, I mean, she was having a full-blown panic attack up there, and that's not even fun TV to watch. It might have been when I was younger, seeing that kind of thing, I was oh, this is funny, person's freaking out. But now I'm just oh, that person's going through it, and if that was me, I would be miserable. So the fact that she was pleading and begging them to let her down, and it seemed like she must have gotten a reaction from either TJ or from production that they weren't coming to get her. But she's no, I'm serious. Get me down. And I don't know who it was. It sounded I guess somebody else up there with her was let her get down, TJ. What are you doing? And right. They were all right, let's go.
Yeah. So, go ahead, bro. Go ahead,
Scott. For the other competitors, sure, let her quit.
I know.
She wants down. Let her down.
But I do agree. If the fear is that bad, it is unfortunate, but I understand it more so than someone who's just I don't want to do this today. I get it, but if this is going to be a consistent thing, for Katie, then like it contributes to why I might not need the third run.
So it came down to John A. and Casey. Before that, any standout highlights? I didn't think there was any like preposterously bad answers amongst the girls for some of the questions. Did anything stand out for you, any of you?
I mean, I was definitely into the Harry Potter discussion of it all, just because I was impressed that they were getting all, or I was impressed that Casey was getting all of them, because she was like, I haven't read the books and I don't really know it that well. And she got, you know, three out of the three that she could have potentially gotten.
We will say John A. saying she's like read everyone five times and then forgetting what I would say is the best Harry Potter book in Order of the Phoenix was disappointing.
Yeah. So, I mean, amazing for Casey, kind of like the complete contrast to Katie, because Casey was like, not was, but like, I mean, she had a Katie type moment where she refused to do eye challenge, freaked out, and, you know, they showed the flashback of it. And here she overcomes that. She's a new person and she wins this one,
which is, she doesn't even have to go off the building, which is like perfect for her.
Yeah. So Casey pulls off the win, or for, I think she said her first ever individual win. Already on a higher streak than Nelson. Way to go for her.
And so, just quickly, like, for the record, the one that she had not wanted to do, the one that like we got the flashback to, like, that was terrifying. Like, I don't know, like, Brian Cohen, you probably remember, you watched the super recently, or at least more recently than,
yeah, that was the one where basically you were going to be like, it was almost like bungee jumping, but being like flung like super far, right? That was the one that she freaked out about.
I'm pretty sure it was the one where you had to like run up this like circular platform, grab something and run back down the other side. Is that the same thing you're saying?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm confusing.
I mean, I could be wrong too, but I just, yeah. I feel like that was the one that she was stuck on. And it, like, that's like not just, you know, being flung off, like when you get a question wrong, like that's like, I could fall if I miss this jump, and I know. I'm putting myself in that position to do so. If it's that, if that's the one I'm remembering, but I don't know, just, it was like a while ago.
Casey had a couple of freakouts. I wouldn't say it was limited to the one they showed. But like you're saying that there is a difference between like doing a giant like swing over a canyon, or like running on a balance beam and potentially falling into water, versus standing on the ledge of a building in a harness. So, you know what? Not to take anything away from Casey, I'm very proud. I'm very happy for her. And I hope that she soaks it all in, but there's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hate heights too, so I can't say how I would do, but like this definitely seems like one of the more tamer heights thing that they've done. Like, it wasn't at night or something like that. You didn't have to like walk across a beam and do something over heights. Like, you're just, like you guys said, just had to kind of just stand there. Obviously it makes answering the questions harder, but like she didn't like give a stupid answer to a question. Katie, she just freaked out. But good for Casey pulling out the win. Amazing for her. For the guys round, we had Brad going up first, and to the question of name someone who has won the challenge multiple times, he gives us out the answer of Katie. So to pose to either of you, is Brad this much of an idiot, or did he throw this? And if he did throw it, why?
No, he didn't throw it. He's
yeah, dead. I don't think so either.
I think he was just so butthurt because of the question, because he couldn't answer himself, that it like shook him up so much that he was like, I don't know. Because people that were amongst like the crowd there, people on the platforms, Derek, Darrell, and people that were like, you know, Jody, whoever else was out there that was an answer to the question, like people there could have been answers, but he couldn't have been. So,
yeah, well, the thing is that a lot of the old school challenges had like 13 people winning a season. Katie's won one. She's made another final. So like, it's not the worst guess in the world just by the fact of her being on so many. But I know a lot of people have pointed out maybe they just didn't show this answer being used. But Brad's own ex-wife was a possible answer, and he chose not to say it and go into elimination instead.
Imagine he said that. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It could have just not been shown, but that would be hilarious. Also, like, we need to talk about how long were these lists on TJ's cards? Like, some of these questions were like, there could be 20 possible answers. There could be like, I don't know how many multi-time champions there. Maybe it's not like, you know, a whole lot, but I just feel like some of these, I was like, this list is probably super long. And was he just sitting here like eyeing it up and down looking for the answer?
I hope he brought his reading glasses. Yeah, it must have been some big writing or something on multiple cards.
Or somebody in his ear, probably, potentially. I don't know. It was just That's the downside for these questions, that it probably took them a while to confirm yes or no.
But again, I like that it was a mix. Like, there were some obviously challenge specific questions, like multiple time winners, countries they've been to, pop culture, sports, just random like geography stuff. Like, I thought even the questions themselves was like a really good mix to like not skew towards any one particular person or anyone. I thought it was a very good mix of questions you can ask.
Yeah. An incredible music choice of It's Raining Men when they started getting flung off the building. Like, incredible.
But I thought that too, but then they didn't really do a montage. Like, they just did the Raining Men, I think, with just like Darrell fell. Like, I was waiting for the montage of like multiple guys falling, but like, they didn't really do the montage.
So, but they at least got it right. Like, as soon as Darrell was flung back, they started playing the song. So it was perfect.
So it came down here to perfectly set up with how the episode started with Steve and Letarian, the two left. It came down. Last question was, I think, the fastest land animals, right? I think he could let the get the Terran have a zebra. Honestly, not the worst guess. They probably would have been like maybe 12 or 13 on the list, but not in the top 10. So Steve pulls out the win.
I wouldn't have guessed the zebra. I mean, not that I know a whole lot of other fast animals that I'd pick, but I'm not picking the zebra there.
I don't know what I would even go with. I feel like cheetah is just so obviously the number one. Cheetah
was the first answer that Steve Jaguar, gave was right. Like, yeah, jaguar. I was thinking maybe, I was thinking even like a horse. You know, they run pretty fast. Bears are pretty fast. I don't know.
Yeah, not a zebra. Steve. Steve.
Andy Wiles pretty fast.
The iconic, legendary challenge returning player, Steve, is the winner. How exciting.
Yes. Steve and Casey. What, I mean, if you ever put those two together in a guess for a winning pair, like, give me a lot of points. Because that you never see something like that again. But good for them. They get the win. Derek, super happy for Casey. Doesn't think he has anything to worry about, and is worried, but thinks Steve might come after him, but he's got his life shield. So what could possibly go wrong, for Derek? Right, Scally?
Yeah. You know, he's set up so well, everything is gonna be fine.
And like, Casey's going to call out later, like the fact that he keeps referring to it essentially as like, he has a life shield. It's like, you really don't, it's not yours. Right. Like, I'm sure Jody was going to, 100%, but, it's not yours.
I loved that so much because like, I'm sure that was like
creep stuff. That was unbelievable.
I'm sure that everyone else had the same reaction, but I truly was like, as soon as he said like, oh, you burned my life shield, and I was like, your life shield. And Casey was like the voice of the audience, like, no, those, you didn't win any life shields. So I was very glad to hear that called out immediately.
Yep. So in a conversation that I think had more strategic merit than the entirety of Challenge 37, we have Steven and Nehemiah breaking down about how they can break up this power trio of Brad, Derek, and Darrell. How do they navigate the life shields? Because even they feel, if they throw in Derek against someone, Kahada or Jody or both have their life shields, they'll use it on them to protect them. So I think it's Steve that comes up with the idea, or maybe it's Nehemiah. I don't remember who said it first about. Nehemiah, who says, let's throw in, or you should throw in Kahada and Jody as your pairing, so they have to use the life field on themselves, so there is no one to protect Derek, which is just an amazing idea. I don't think I even thought about doing something like this. I didn't know that was even possible to do it. It's just a brilliant idea. As we see, it's executed brilliantly. What did you make of this power breakdown by Nehemiah and Steve, Matt?
I hate the way that like my brain works, because when they come up with a plan like this, all that like my brain says is like, oh, that's like so obvious. Like, of course they would do that. And like, that's the way that you break the life shield if you want to, get somebody to burn it. I don't know that if I'm like in the moment, if, I can 100% like say, oh yeah, no, I would definitely do that. I don't know. But it does, now that like we're seeing it all played out, it's like, no, that does make a whole lot of sense. You have the option to put up four people, because the entire time up, like leading up until that conversation, I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, well, Derek is going to be safe. I agree with him that the life shield will be used on him. But then, like I said, it just kind of like, as soon as they reveal the plan, it's like, okay, well, now that they're going to burn the shields on themselves, it's a matter of, okay, who is Derek going to be up against? And who's going to be, going in on the woman's side? Katie has that scene talking about how she doesn't want to go against Kendall. So it's like, some intrigue on both ends of who's going to get picked in here. But you still got to give credit to Nehemiah, because I don't know if Steve was necessarily going to get there or anybody else there. He definitely pushed forward with it.
Yeah, well, I thought it was fun. It was a collaboration where Nehemiah was like, we want to try to burn the life shields. And Steve was like, so we'll throw them in. And Nehemiah was like, oh, that is a good idea. Yeah. Like, he was planning on throwing the allies that they would use it on. But, it was a good collaboration.
Do you think that's a flaw in the Life Shield, the fact that it can be worked around like this? And you think this is now just going to be kind of a recurring thing, Scally, that whoever wins is just going to be tossed in so that they never have to worry about the Life Shield being used? I feel like now the Life Shields are just like burned basically for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we praised the format of the season, and I think this is one thing that maybe they didn't think all the way through. So I'm curious to see if there is any like sudden twist that comes about that fixes this problem, because it seems very obvious how you would work around this at this point.
Yeah, like unless you're out, like if you're friends with the person who has Life Shield and you win, then you theoretically don't need to do it. But any other circumstance, you can. Or you just add the additional layer of, you just, if you had the Life Shield, you just can't even be nominated. Which, exactly. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know if that's like a good thing. I mean, I it would be a twist on it, but I don't hate the idea of them having to burn it. Like, I don't even know where I stand. I don't know if I would prefer that or this. It's not a great podcast opinion, but I still don't know. I don't know which I would prefer, Matt. Do you care that you can kind of just burn the Life Shields away this season?
I mean, it's definitely a whole lot less interesting. Like the first week, you know, or the first time that it was used, when Nehemiah used it to take Tech down, it's not like it was like a super big, exciting moment on the episode, but like at least it changed up the nominations from what they were, you know, from what the two people in power were planning on doing. But I don't know. I think that the Life Shield sounds a lot more fun than, as we're obviously seeing here and potentially going forward, it actually is.
Yeah. So before we get to the deliberation, I don't know what they're exactly calling it, but where the winners get together, there was nothing pops up on the screen like the selection when they do the voting.
Yeah.
But I call it the deliberation. Katie obviously goes to Steve saying, do whatever you want, like think things through. I just don't want to face Kendall. Anyone but Kendall. Steve says, okay. So they go to deliberation, and when they start sussing out for the girls, Kendall's name has popped up. And you see Steve kind of back down a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of it, when Casey brings up that, you know, we can't just be there to protect Katie. Like, she basically gave up on the challenge. She didn't even try. Why should we bend over backwards to save her when she didn't even try to save herself? And, you know, good for Casey saying that, because I kind of felt the same thing. Like, I get, you know, your friends with Steve, Katie, but it's not like you lost. Like, you didn't even try this challenge. So I don't know. She didn't really have a lot of water to stand on with this one. What do you think, Scally?
Yeah, I almost was even curious of if the Life Shields could be used to save someone who came in last or not. I don't think so. But I think Katie was really relying on many of her friends often falling into power here. And so I thought that, like, it doesn't bother me. If someone has like a good political game, then like, cool, you have a good political game. But like, for Steve to like have just given him credit where it's like, realize that you should be throwing in the people with the Life Shields, to then just completely fold to anything Casey says entirely here. It was, you know, not his best moment probably. It's just like, I have this one goal. Okay, we don't want to do that. Okay, that sounds good. So not ideal, Steve.
It's also like, I mean, I think it's not as bad as what we saw with Darrell last week, where he wanted something and then Tina was like running over it completely. But like, in a sense, it's, I feel like when you go into this kind of thing, Steve and Casey going in, it's like, all right, well, maybe I'll pick one that I'm passionate about. You pick one that you're passionate about. So Steve already got, you know, it was definitely, maybe Casey was on board, but the whole Derek thing was like what he wanted. So Casey kind of had to have her way with the other one. And if that is Kendall, then like, you know, she was reassuring him that like, she's not going to go in, but I don't know. You just can't push your, you know, unless you're Tina, maybe you can't push and say, I want both of these to be what I want.
Yeah. I mean, you could attempt to, but at least so, especially when like it's your one friend in the house, seems like that is probably a valuable piece to keep on the board. Not that I think Katie is going to be winning any power anytime soon. But I feel like we could have made somewhat of an effort, especially when Casey is openly saying like, me and Steve like both wanted Derek in here.
Yeah. And because I kind of feel like, you know, they are friends, and if Katie was coming into Steve being like, I want to go against this one person, I think Steve would have more of a leg to stand up, being like, I can't just bow down to you like that. You know, you lost, you didn't even try, like I can't give exactly what you want. But the fact that she was just asking, just don't vote this one person in, like you could do anything else you want basically, although she was kind of upset to see Ayan up there too, which I felt was kind of BS on her part, but saying like, you just don't want to go up against Kendall, I thought that was a fair enough thing that Steve should have been able to follow through on, where she wasn't trying to dictate who to go in, but just like, of all the people, just like, don't put in Kendall. And to see Kendall's name pop up there, I can understand Katie being like, what the hell, Steve? I said for one freaking thing. And you couldn't even do that. So I do get where that's coming from. But again, it's like, Katie, you didn't even try in the challenge. So it's kind of tough to feel bad for her here.
I think it's fair when you say, like, use your brain. That should mean don't throw in two of the strongest competitors in the house. But even just, like, looking at the list of women on this season, especially who's left, there's not that many weak options. So I don't know who Katie really should be hoping to go against, even in this scenario.
I think the smallest person left, probably being Jasmine, is probably where I thought she was going to hope for to go in. I mean, I don't know what her relationship was like with Jasmine, but, like, if she wanted a chance of coming back, like, they're kind of equal size.
Sure, but then say that, because, like, that's, like, looking on the board, you don't want to go against Diana. You probably don't want to go against Janelle, Jody, John A, Kendall, like, Tina. There's so many strong women left in this house that I think, like, you need to call your shot. Don't trust people to, especially when, like, they played on one season, like, 35 years ago. Maybe you should take the lead strategically, Katie.
Yep. Totally. And Steve brings up the Derek plan. Casey, as you guys mentioned, was a little reluctant at first, but then fully jumped on board. Felt it was a risk worth taking. So they follow through nominating Derek and Kahana. I think it was Derek and Kahana first, and then the girls, it was Jody and Kendall. Jody and Kahana obviously come on by, use their life shields, replaced by Tyler and Ayana. So that's how we get our full nominations of Cade, Kendall, and Ayana, Derek, and Tyler. What did you make of Tyler? Because that was the other piece of it. Tyler being the one that is the pawn. Because obviously the original plan was to split up Brad, Derek, and Darrell. You have Brad down there. You want to get out Derek. Wouldn't the move be to put Darrell up as the other piece? Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when Steve himself was like, my target is the three-headed snake that is Brad, Darrell, and Derek, and then just like, we need one other person, who could we use? Let's use Tyler. Like, why? I don't know if Tyler's like not that well connected. I know that over on the Dom and Colin podcast, we had flagged up that worried about Tyler having seen Derek and Ryan and Sophia all go home so early. So
it's a homophobic season, say the least.
Yeah, it's not ideal to see, especially like even Derek on the podcast with Anissa and Tori was like, we could have sent home Tyler. It's like, no, please don't do that again. So I was not thrilled to see Tyler being used as the pawn here, but hopefully there was some degree of certainty that would not backfire on him.
Sophia's gone, like, this is crazy. What was I going to say? Oh, as far as Tyler goes going in, like, if you take everybody who's not in those two alliances that we saw at the top of the episode, who's left? Mm-hmm. It's like Tyler, maybe somebody else. I can't think if there's another guy missing. And then like a couple of the other women all of the rest of the women are were not included in those alliances. So I think that like Tyler is just like, just from like, you know, looking at context clues here, I'm guessing that Tyler's just good with all the rest of the women, and they knew that Tyler wouldn't get voted in. So the move was getting made here, and it wasn't really much of a question that Derek was going to get the votes.
Yeah, and good on Tyler for, you know, a lot of other people, even if you know you're going to be safe, they'll take this as well, right? They freak out, they start yelling at Steve, they cause a fight, and maybe that leads to them actually being voted in. So we didn't really see a scene of much of Tyler reacting, but I assume that means Tyler didn't react at all. So kudos for him for kind of taking in stride and, you know, letting the votes play out, right, Skyly?
Yeah, I would say Tyler is the only guy who's not presented in either of those alliances, like, speaking of leaving pieces on the board. So I don't know why that is, but I think that it was like maybe they were worried about MJ getting voted in instead of Derek, but still, you could have thrown in Darrell. I don't think Darrell was getting voted in over him, but you know, like we said, good on Tyler for having the votes, at least with half the house or more.
Yep.
This episode is made possible by PwC. It's getting hot out here. Moving the mercury can help move your business. PwC helps turn sustainability theory into real-world action. Reduce your carbon footprint while increasing transparency in net zero commitments. Start with reporting to identify your climate risks and reinvent your business. Create a more sustainable business and a stronger planet. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So we go down to the selection. It starts off with Ayana standing up. Well, I guess it starts with Casey saying, you know, she doesn't want to go against Kendall. She really doesn't want that. And then Ayana stands up and just starts taking off her other clothes and showing her uniform and being like, she's ready to fight. She's ready for battle. Not the best for Katie, probably, to see how fired up Ayana is, because she is ready to go right then and there. Right, Matt?
Yeah, as somebody who did not really remember this moment from Ayana's early days, like her original challenge career, MTV career, it was nice to see her try to, you know, recreate this here in a way that was just, you know, it's the same. Well, I don't know if it's the same exact message that she was giving back then, but the message she's giving here is pretty clear. She's like, I'm ready to go in if that's what needs to be happening. And I'm ready for you guys aren't going to get me home that easy. As she says in confessional, she's like, I'm ready. I'm here. It's happening. So stop trying to mess with me. So, you know, iconic behavior.
Yeah, and then as Derek was giving his speech, giving his best Omar impression, you know, you come at the king, you best not miss, all that other stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Talking about his life, she has his hair also, where we get Casey pointing out very astutely and correctly that Derek does not have any life shields. They were Jody and Kahuta's to protect them. They deservedly so earned it. They should protect them. And Derek is protectionless coming into this vote.
Mm-hmm. And even Nehemiah, like while they're voting, Nehemiah says, like, no one's scared of your threats. Stop it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just wasn't a good look on Derek. Like we said, like what makes him likable was being the underdog. And I feel like definitely strayed from that this season. Wasn't my fave.
Did he like bark at Nehemiah?
Like,
that was weird, right? When he was going up there to, I guess, they have to put their names up or whatever when they're voted. And that was weird. Yeah, that was odd by Derek. I think for Derek's sake, the way this track was going, I think it's best he gets eliminated here and not staying into game and making himself look worse. I think this was going down a bad path for Derek. So I think here he gets knocked out, but is able to keep, like, still pretty well liked amongst everyone, amongst the fans. Sure. I think if he stayed in and was doing some more other stuff, I think it could have changed. So kind of good for, luckily for Derek, I think, like, that he gets knocked out here.
I don't know that he's going to see it that way, because he's not somebody who goes home early on challenges very often. Sure. So this is probably like crushing to him, and I mean, if his podcast appearance is any indication, he definitely is still not the most over it. I don't know that he sees it that way, but I see what you're saying.
So we get down to it. Ayana and Derek, as I said, voted in. Nehemiah, to show support for Brad, is wearing Brad's beard, or not Brad's beard, but a beard, to dress up as Brad to show support down in the arena or the dungeon, whatever the hell it's called for this. So look at Nehemiah and Brad. Tales all the time. What great friends.
It was so, like, just the fact, like, the way that he goes up to Brad when they're like, bro, Brad, you have to come see this. And then, like, Brad sees it and he goes in for, like, the handshake and he's like, that's so funny. That's awesome. Like, that's great. And then he, like, takes another step back and looks at it again. And then he, like, goes in for another hug. And then he, like, takes another step back and he's like, man, that's crazy. And then he goes in again. I'm like, these two are just, like, going to go at an elimination right here. Like, the way that they're just, right. It was weird. Weird body language. I didn't know what to do with it.
All I was thinking about was, like, okay, that was funny. I'm going to wait a couple hours until elimination actually happens. Like, just riding the bus, like, that could not have been comfortable. No. So
and I just love the idea of, like, all of the gameplay that's happening around right now. And, like, in my head, like, I'm just picturing, like, Jasmine and John A, because I want to see more of those two. I'm just like, are they just like, not, I'm not like insulting their games. It just feels like they're like maybe just having fun in like a summer camp environment, like putting, you know, putting this whole project together with Nehemiah.
But what's so funny is obviously jumping ahead with Brian wins. He gives like a confessional of like, all right, I want to go after the people that, you know, got out Derek, my friend, that put me in this position. And one of them is Nehemiah. Like, Nehemiah is trying to dress up to show his support for Brad, but Brad's got his target set right on Nehemiah. So the dressing up is in. I guess it helped them here, but that doesn't really help build the friendship, because Brad's still coming after you.
You think like there's part of Brad who like maybe saw Nehemiah with the beard on and like didn't like it at first, but like pretended to like it?
Maybe it's like, yeah, like making fun of his shirt, right? That's what caused the Amada to be voted in at first from Derek. So maybe, or I guess MJ, whoever it was.
Right. Like he was like processing it. Like, is this, like, is he making fun of me? Like, I feel like that's what part of the whole processing was of him like going back and forth in and out of like the embracing Nehemiah with it. I don't know. I just, again, really was struggling to read that interaction.
Yeah. Very, very odd. anything else before we get to the elimination?
Nah.
Wait, there's more. Nope, that's the name of the elimination. you have to move 1,000 pounds in various bags, put them in, it's like a giant cornhole style thing, basically. And once you do that, it opens up a puzzle. You solve the puzzle, and you win. So that was the format of the elimination. I feel like the challenge has been steering more and more, at least for All-Stars, steering more and more to including puzzles in their eliminations, which I don't mind, but I don't need it to be in every single elimination. Like, I think I don't want them to go too in the Survivor end of the spectrum with like, these equalizers. Like, it's okay to keep some things just physical and some things not or whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't need these equalizers and balances things in every single elimination.
So, looking ahead at like just when you have something like, I'm even struggling to come up with like an example here, but maybe next season's cast might be a little more like a wider gap in skill. Like I like it from that perspective where you're just not gonna have total blowouts or like it'll be a little more fair, like up for anybody. But yeah, especially the type of puzzles they're choosing, like I see this puzzle as an app for on TikTok like every third like sponsored post, so like it's fine, but they seem a little basic.
I liked the elimination just fine. All I could think about was who, you know, the person that was like controlling the puzzle going up, because that wasn't on any kind of automatic system, let's be real. Like, were they behind the structure, or were they inside the ramp, like avoiding getting hit with a giant bag of sand? Like, again, that was not something automatic that like somebody pulled it up or something. So I was just really trying hard to find out where that person was in the midst of these very intense eliminations. Watching, I mean, I think we all knew that, you know, Katie wasn't going to be the favorite here. So that one was tough to watch as a Katie fan. But the other one was, you know, definitely as Belinda said, we've all been waiting to watch this. I'm like, I guess. So I'll watch it.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to see Brad and Derek go up against each other, but it definitely wasn't like, oh, I hope it once in my life I get to see Brad and Derek go up against each other in elimination. So, I mean, it was interesting. Obviously, Ayana is killing it again. Dominates this one. Katie with a very, I don't know if she thought it was funny, but a very funny post elimination confessional where, you know, she was like, well, Ayana had me with, you know, the physical part. She had me with the endurance and she, you know, beat me in the puzzle. So I lost. Like, yeah, that's, you know, she had you in every single of the elimination. So, not great. And then yeah, good for Brad winning the elimination here. And then I as you guys mentioned, it wasn't like the most complicated of puzzles, but you know, he had the lead pretty much the whole time and, you know, held through it. So good for Brad to pull out the win.
And big celebration up on deck for Stephen Casey that they pulled this move out and got, you know, a very tough player to usually get out of these kind of games out in Derek. So, you know, props to both of them for pulling the move off. That is again, not something that, or just at least personally, not something that I would have foreseen, especially again, this early on.
Well, it's just every season we're like hoping this happens. We want two sides of the house. We want people to take big shots and like these strategic moves that end up paying off. And like all of that happened this episode. So, while I think that we were a little hesitant with seeing the cast on All-Stars 2, I am so far very happy with how it's playing out as a whole.
Yeah. And I love the fact that this risk paid off for them, because I think now it only leads to other people taking risk here. If they did this, Derek wins, and then Derek wins the challenge next week and he throws in Steve and Casey, then all of a sudden I think people's games tighten up and they don't do this type of stuff. But the fact that everything worked, and now if like Steve and Casey, they get a position of power again next week or some of their allies, I think we can kind of see these types of moves happening more and more as the season goes along. So I was, as much as I like Derek, I was kind of happy to see this result play out, because I think it's going to lead to this similar type of gameplay as we move forward. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah. And if that was a three-headed dragon, you know, with Derek, Brad and Durrell, it definitely, you know, you take a big power structure, you take out, you know, a key piece in that, you're definitely going to see more compelling gameplay going forward. So should be fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically like on the modern seasons of The Challenge when like the Johnnies and Wes's would get targeted right at the beginning of the game. So that's what this was essentially, because, you know, like Derek has not usually been the front man of the season, but by casting and by podcast, he basically has become that. So it's just you saw the literal number one topple in episode four.
What we just said about, you know, CT and in the other season, if you're going to take the shot, take it early. And they did. They took it early and they succeeded. So
there it is. Maybe CT will just start winning both seasons simultaneously. That's like, he's like, all right, you know what? I've won now this challenge regular. I've won back to back, assuming he goes on to do that. Let me see if I can win both of them at the same time. And he just simultaneously filming All Stars and the challenge proper and wins to both. Adds that to his resume.
Who could be surprised?
I'm 100% sure they're asking him for All Stars, but I'm just nervous about people coming into All Stars and then just like being so much stronger than the pool where it's like, oh, so I'm gonna have like, I love her, but like Beth and then like CT are competing for the same prize. That is scary for me as a prospect.
It's like CT just like going back and joining like Little League or something like that. It's like, all right, you don't belong here. You stay where you are. Although honestly, the people in the All Stars might be better than the people in the challenge right now. So maybe the competition's fiercer.
That is definitely a fair point.
So yeah, like we've all said, great episode. Sets up well for the back half of the season. I think there's probably 10 episodes again, right? So we're kind of closing in on the halfway mark. So
I think so.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
something like that. I keep forgetting that the first round was split up into two episodes. But yeah, I would expect around 10
so
to
we're now six people down, right? So six people gone. There was 24 people to start. So 18 left. You keep losing two a week. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get to the final 10 in no time, which is going to be the final. So this format's been working just fine for me. I don't mind, two people going each week.
No, I mean, like we've all said, like this format, great way to do it. Which the challenge proper would do it. Losing two people a week, especially when the challenge proper has like 45 people start, is more than enough. So the fact that, All Stars only had like, what'd you say, 26 people to start and they're doing this, is a much better way to do it. So it just adds the pressure each week. There's no like guys, girls weeks and stuff like that. So it's such the cleaner and better way to go about a season this. So.
And it's the same reason why like old school Big Brother would have more like power shifts than old school Survivor, because like it only takes one person winning power to be able to like make each move that really shifts the game. And that's exciting. That is not at all how it's been on the main series for a little bit of time.
Yep, totally. All right. Anything else for All Stars episode four?
I guess quickly to on our end of things, to touch on the draft that Scally and I have with Mel got served. I believe Scally had all four players that were in any kind of position of anything this week. I think he had both people who went home and both challenge winners.
I think that is true.
That's incredible.
You know what? I think Derek and Katie were both my first and last pick, so it's fine. Whatever, it happens. Still feel fine about my team.
Well, if you want to feel better, Derek was your second pick, but yeah,
okay,
close enough.
Yeah.
First picks in the draft were, just to look back on it, we had Ayana, who's obviously been proving herself week after week. Jody and Janelle has been like invisible for the most part, so
completely
love that. And Jody obviously still seems like she's got a target on her back, but she's been still hanging in there. She won the elimination, so that's all that is there for the draft.
Cool.
Alrighty. So if you're listening still on RHAP, you can follow this one at challenge, what is it, robinswebsite.com/challenge, all challenge iTunes. Oh my god. To keep up with All Stars and Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies with the great Ali Lasher. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. You can follow you, all of you.
I'm at Matt Liguori. Scally's at
Brian _ Scally.
That'll do it for this week. So next week, episode 5 for All Stars. Until then, have a good one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.